We're now on chapter 10, Perek Yud of Malachim. Perek Yud in the art scroll can be found. And I would locate it on page 108, okay? So we're going to read one of the, I would say, more famous but also more cryptic stories that appears in the Navi about Shlomo HaMelech. And we're going to ask a very simple question. What in the world? Yeah. What in the world? What's it doing here? I see Harriet is red ahead.
Sorry.
Yeah, it's okay. It's good. Okay. So then I'm going to show you some of the more bizarre midrashim. I've shown you some bizarre midrashim up to this point, have I not? Remember the whole Ashmedai midrash?
The worm.
Yeah, with the worm, the shamir. We got even more bizarre midrashim coming up. Okay. Umalkat Shiva, the queen of Sheba. Sheba, queen of Sheba, we've heard of, right? The Shomad et Shem HaShlomo and the Shem HaShem. She heard the name of Solomon in the name of God, right? Va'tavo l'nasoto b'chidot. And she came to test him with riddles. You ever well heard of the Queen of Sheba? And she came, where is Sheba? Where is Sheba? Yeah, right, exactly. If you look at the Oscar points out, he says, according to our Babinel, it was Yemen, and Ma'am Lois identifies it as Ethiopia. Okay? I mean, who cares about the Queen of Yemen? The Queen of Sheba? You know, what in the world? I mean, why is this important? So she came to test him with riddles. Vatavo, we're going to read the Navi, we'll ask a few questions, and then we'll come back. Vatavo, Yerushalayim. She came to Jerusalem, Bechayil Kaved Ma'od, with a very large entourage, Gmalim, camels, Nosim, Bishamim, Bizahav, Rav Ma'od, the Eben Yekara. These camels were carrying great gold, you know, and precious stones. Vatavo El Shlomo, she came to Shlomo, and she tells him everything that's on her heart. Okay? Shlomo told her all of her words, meaning he somehow interpreted properly the events. Nothing was hidden from the king that he did not tell her. So the queen of Sheba saw the wisdom of Shlomo and the house that he built, Pasuk Hey, Umachal Shulchano, and the food on his table, Umoshav Avadav, and where his servants dwelled, Umaamad Mishartav, okay, and the station of his attendants, Umabushehem, and their clothing, Umashkav Olatav Asheya Lebed Hashem, and their drink, and the offerings that were offered in the house of God. And she had no more wind. What does that mean, she had no more wind? It's a very famous, a colloquial phrase.
Knocked the wind out of her.
Took the breath away, took her breath away. Right, knocked the wind out of her. I mean, it was like, right, oh my gosh, I can't believe it. It's like, this king is unbelievable. Just everything about him was over the top. Vatomer El HaMelech, and she said to the king, Emet hayahadavar asher shamarti be'arti al dvarecha v'al chachmatecha. Whatever they, you know, what they told me about you, it's all true, and I had to come and see it for myself. He said, I didn't believe it, and I had to come see it with my own eyes, and the things that I thought were an exaggeration wasn't even the chetzi, wasn't even half of it. You have added wisdom and goodness to that which I heard. Ashrei anashecha, ashrei avadecha eila. Fortunate are your men, fortunate are your servants. Those who are fortunate enough to stand before you always and hear your wisdom. Yehi Hashem Elokecha baruch. Let the Lord your God be blessed. Asher chafetz b'cha letitcha al kisei Yisrael. That desire you to place you on the chair of Israel, the Ahavat Hashem et Yisrael la'olam, that God has an eternal love for the Jewish people, VaYisimcha leMelech la'asod b'Yisrael Yisrael, and He made you a king to do justice and kindness. Okay, and so she has all these nice words to say. She's blown over, she's blown away by the whole kingdom, by the opulence, by the wealth, by the magnificence, by the tremendous show. that Shlomo has over her, and she says, this is an incredible thing, Baruch Hashem. So she says, Baruch Hashem. Okay? Now, she came to Melech Me'av Asim Kikar Zahar. She gave to the king 120 talents of gold, Shamim Harbeinod, a lot of spices, Ebony Kara, great and precious stones. Lo Baka Bosa Mahu Oud La Rov, Asher Netanah Malkat Shiva LeMelech Shlomo. Meaning, the amount of stuff that she brought, obviously, Shiva, where Sheba, wherever it was a very prosperous nation. She brought a ton of stuff with her. And after he impressed her so, she gave it to him. Why did she give it to him?
To impress him with her wealth.
Okay.
She was interested in him.
She was interested in him?
Even watching the old movies.
Well, maybe she hasn't. We'll see in a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Why else would a queen of a kingdom, of a wealthy, prosperous kingdom, bring great gifts to King Shlomo?
To make him a friend, to be an ally.
Right. Correct. I mean, it's all very nice in the way the Navi describes it. But nobody gives nobody nothing for free.
Right.
Okay? So, obviously, one of the reasons she came, to test him, as it were, is to see, is this Jewish kingdom the powerful kingdom that people said? Or is it really, you know, an exaggeration? And she comes and she realizes that Shlomo is as great as he said he was. So it's interesting. Originally she shows up with a bunch of camels, right, laden with stuff. That's the introductory present. Right? But when she leaves, what does she leave with?
Well,
you know, if she leaves, she gives him tremendous gifts. You know, it's also possible that, you know, the most, I would argue, and I think everyone would agree, what is the most valuable commodity that a nation can produce?
People.
What?
People.
How do you mean?
You have to have people. You have to have them.
What is the most valuable export a nation or a commodity a nation can have?
Goodwill.
Nope. Why? Why not spices? You run out of spices. You can only grow so many spices. The most valuable commodity a nation can produce is information and knowledge. Without a doubt. How do you know? Right. Why did the United States become the most powerful nation in the world?
We're smart.
Well, aside from the abundant natural resources, why?
We're powerful.
Why are we powerful?
Figured out what to do.
Technology. It's all about the technology. Correct.
The
power is all about the technology. It's not just about a resourcefulness. Who got the atom bomb first? And who, you know, developed the transistor? And who developed the personal computer? And all those things that gave... right?
Japan
leap forward. And it's very, I would say, tempting to rest on your laurels and produce that which you produced, and, you know, it will continue. But any good company, country, entity knows that you're only as good as your next innovation. And when you stop trying to innovate and you're resting on your laurels, that's when you begin to stagnate. So maybe what she wanted from Shlomo, it's very possible, is she wanted his wisdom. Right? What do the Jews possess more than anything? What did Shlomo have more than anything? That's why she tested him. That's why she quizzed him. And for that reason, after she was done quizzing him, then she went to establish a treaty. Because if you have knowledge, you can build, you can construct, you can grow. And if you don't have knowledge, or the will to use it,
definitely.
Right, just look at what, I mean, somebody sent me a video about, and I think it's a video about what Israel's done in the past 60 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in the past 60 years, Israel has leapfrogged, I mean, just beyond, light years beyond the country surrounding it. Why? What does Israel have? What natural resources does it have?
The knowledge.
People. That's all it is. Right? And the desire to succeed. And that's why they don't like us. Okay. Let's just finish up this little section. So she gave 120 talents of gold, a ton of stuff, prosecute out. Vidam ani Chiram asher asad zahav me'ofir. Okay. Also the boats of Chiram, right, the fleet, which carried gold from Ophir. Hevi me'ofir atse al mogim harbein me'od be'evin yekara. It also brought almog trees. Almog trees, I don't know what it was, but it was probably, more precious than Brazilian cedar, for all I know.
They weren't trees. They were coral.
coral Adamo trees?
Most commentators agree that the Almanac was coral,
okay.
which was shaped like trees.
Okay, I thought it was a precious wood, but that's fine.
Almanac are corals.
Are they?
Yes.
Oh, very nice. Okay, so they brought this coral. What was it used for, the coral, obviously?
Decoration.
Right, okay. Vayas HaMelech et Atei Alamugim Mish'ad Beit Hashem. The king made the Almanac trees into a walkway for the temple of Hashem. And he also used it for his own house, and he made it into kidorot. He made it into harps and lyres for the singers. You never saw coral like that. You never saw it. Incredible. Now, Melech Shlomo natan b'malkat Sheba et kol chefta asher sha'ala. What did Shlomo give the queen of Sheba? Anything she wanted. Levad Hashem natan la kiyad Melech Shlomo. Aside from the fact. Which he gave according to his generosity, she turned and went to her land, she and her servants. Very nice state visit by the queen of Sheba. She comes, she asks some questions, she brings some stuff. Who cares? We spent a long time reading about the building of the Beit HaMikdash. We spent a long time reading about the building of the Beit Yar HaLevanon. What in the world do I need to know about the visit of the Malka of Sheba, the Queen
Maybe
of Sheba?
This was supposed to be an example of all the nations who sent their rulers to visit him.
In what way?
So this was just one, instead of going through all of them,
right.
They just gave one example.
Okay.
Who comes?
For what?
Well,
what is the purpose of telling us, especially if it's only one, and that's not really, I'm not interested in the military history, right? Because if I was, then I'd want to know how many kings showed up and how many treaties they made, but I'm not interested in that. So what do I need? So yes, I agree with you. I think it is an example of Shlomo, of a visit, that, of a state visit, for example. So what is it, what's the point of chronicling this state visit for us to learn about? What am I supposed to learn from this story?
The greatness of Shlomo.
How do you say?
This was a distant kingdom.
Okay.
He heard his fame all the way over there.
Mm-hmm.
Not just any kingdom, but a very wealthy one.
Okay.
They were very powerful in his own right,
uh-huh.
His own sphere. And
the good, right, I agree. Right. The idea was, and I think you're right, Arya, that it's an example. That look at the fame and the prominence and the power and the impression that Shlomo made so far away, we're going to see how far away, it's not clear how far away it is, so far away that this woman had to come and experience King Shlomo for herself, right? And her reaction is one of just awe and amazement. One of just total shock. It took her breath away in the language of the Navi. Right? And is that a good thing? Would you describe this episode, the visit of the Queen of Sheba, would you describe it as a positive visit, as something that the Navi wants us to extol and wants us to admire, or a negative visit? There are not positive attributes to this visit. I'm just asking you, how did the story strike you the way the Navi describes it? It's a good thing or bad thing? Everyone agree?
Yeah.
Seems good, right? That seemed good. Right here, Shlomo is so popular, he answers all the questions, but I'm gonna leave it at that, and I agree with you, it seems good, but as I'm going to show you, hopefully, it's a turning point. Right? There can only be so much good, as we will soon see. Okay, before we begin, the first source I want to do with you, for those of you, even if you don't have the sources, is I have enough of these. This is pages 1 and 2. If you don't have pages 1 and 2. They're a little bit tricky to read. Turn to page 2. Okay? The most interesting and fun midrashim that you find on this story appear not in the book of Malachim, but they appear in a book called Targum Sheni to Megillat Esther. Okay, the Targum Sheni to Megillat Esther, there's something called Targum. Everybody knows what Targum is. Targum is usually is an Aramaic translation of the text. But then, in addition to Megillat Esther, you'll notice there's, I mean, I've shared this with other people before, there are pages and pages of something called Targum Sheni. Targum Sheni was written in Aramaic. I gotta be honest with you and tell you, I have no idea who wrote it. But it's one of these, I have a friend who does Midrash. You should probably ask him what he would say. I don't know who the author of the Targum Sheni is on the Gilat Esther. Let me see if I can find it. No, I don't know. We'll see. Targum Sheni on Esther. One second. Doesn't say who wrote it. Okay, doesn't say who wrote it. So I want to share with you, and it's a long reading. I'll read, we'll see how much, how far I get, about the story of the queen of Sheba. And this is a Hebrew translation of the Aramaic. I decided not to read it for you in Aramaic because, you know. What? Sure. Okay. V'od kitov lev ha-melech Shlomo b'yayin. What is that, a paraphrase? Does anybody recognize that? Kitov? What? Megillat Esther. Right? Kitov lev ha-melech b'yayin. Right? Who is that a description of? Achashverosh. What did Achashverosh do? Right, no, he didn't kill her. What did he do first?
He got drunk.
He got drunk. Right? And then what did he want? He summoned her to appear. How did he summon her to appear? Well, right. He summoned her to appear in her full glory. Okay? Is Ketov Lev HaMelech Bayayin a complimentary description of Achashverosh?
No.
No. So what does it mean when the Midrash says Ketov Lev HaMelech Shlomo Bayayin?
Shlomo is like him?
That isn't what I would call the most complimentary description. Why would the Midrash describe Shlomo? Did we have any inkling of Shlomo in that way? In our Navi? No, we had no example of Shlomo being drunk, God forbid. So it's just very interesting to point out that the Targum uses that kind of language. You understand what I'm saying, Dror? Very interesting. Okay. Amar lahavi of hashamayim Chayat Haaretz, he said, to bring the bird of the heavens, the animals of the land, the Remes Adamah, and all the crawly things, Shadim Ruchot Upegaim. He said he wanted to bring also Shadim, and Shadim are? Demons. Spirits. Pegaim. I don't even know what Pegaim are.
Pegah.
What?
It's Pegah. Something bad.
Yeah. Right, like damagers.
Like
the image,
yeah.
They should dance and display themselves in front of him. All the animals should come and put on a little show. Right, how is Shlomo going to demonstrate his greatness? Because nobody else can summon the animals to come and, you know, he was a regular Dr. Doolittle. He could speak to the animals. And the animals and the spirits and everything would come and dance in front of him. V'shofrei ha-melech hayu korim otam b'shemotam. And the king's scribes would say, monkeys, come forth and dance for the king. V'kulam mitkapsim ubayim elav lo b'zikim v'lo b'chavlei barzel v'lo b'ben adam anoheg bam. And the animals would just show up on their own. You know, I think that's a pretty nifty trick to say, okay, now we would like to present to you the tigers who will now dance the waltz. That'd be a pretty impressive trick, wouldn't you? No chains, no ropes, no chairs, no tiger trainers. That's what he would do. Ba'et ha'hi, nidvakesh v'nidrash ziz sadi. There was a certain bird that was it was like a field hen, like a hen moor, okay? Ve'nofot v'lon insha. So they called all the animals, and they said, where is the field chicken? Didn't show up. Vayetzav alav hamelech b'chamato lahavio liyasro. And the king, in his rage, the chutzpah of the field hen, said, bring that field hen and, you know, let him have it. Vayan zisadai sadi lifnei hamelech v'yomer lo. So and eventually this bird shows up and he says to the king, haskeit u'shema adori hamelech kol ha'aretz v'yavo d'varai b'yaznecha. Listen, you're not going to believe what happened. He says, I have this idea, 3 months. I didn't eat, I didn't drink. I don't know why the bird eats bread, but whatever, okay. I said, I'm going to travel the whole world around and see, is there any kingdom that hasn't heard of King Solomon? This chicken. What?
Yeah, I'm in this story.
Good. Hishtakalti v'ra'iti medina achat. So I looked around, I flew all over the world, and I found one country. Asher sein Iraq kitor v'eretz mizrach. The name of the kingdom is Kitor. Ad mata mizahav yikara, it's got golden land. Hakesef v'chutzot kezevel. They throw silver out like garbage. Right? It's this rich land. Wonderful, wonderful trees. And they drink water from Gan Eden. Great army. And they have gold crowns on their heads. He says, so there's a great, great country, unbelievable country, but they can't wage war with you. And this country that never heard of you, it's ruled by a queen, and her name is the Queen of Sheba. That time now, if you approved, O King, I'm going to go to Sheba, and I want to tell them about the greatness of King Solomon. Okay? So I'm on, if you're following with me, I'm on a small column all the way on the right. It says, Vayitav Hadavar. See where I am, Dora? Vayitav Hadavar, the Melech, the king liked it. Vayikaru Sofer HaMelech, Vayikhtibu Mikhtav. So they wrote a letter. Vayanu Vayikshiru Otam Bekhnath Ziz Sadi. And they tied it to the wing of this bird. And he got up, and he flew. And of course, he gets to the queen of Sheba. Okay, by Eve, no, Boker, the next morning, she went out to worship the sun, as was her custom. When this bird went to fly to the queen of Sheba, so Solomon thought it was a good idea, so all the other birds came with it. So this procession of birds, when the queen went out to worship the sun, there was no sun because of all the birds that came. She grabbed her clothing and she ripped it apart. She was so surprised when this bird showed up. And what is there? Obviously tied to his wing. A letter. She read the letter, opened the letter, and she read it. And what was written in it? Ma'aya katuba. Mimeni amelech Shlomo, shalom lach v'shalom sarayach. Hello, O Queen of Sheba, my name is King Shlomo. Hello, Yadat. Perhaps you heard of me. Im lo shamat, if you haven't, ki michoti ha-kadosh baruch hu al-chayat ha-aretz v'al-of ha-shamayim. God made me the king of all the animals and the birds. Al-shedim v'al-ruchot v'al-lilim. I am the king of the demons and the spirits. I don't even know what a leel is. And all the kings of the world, they come and they pay tribute to me in my greatness. Ata, and now, I'm on the second to last line on the right hand side. If you come and pay tribute, I'm where the arrow, the B is. See the arrow, the B? Okay, I had to squish it all onto one page, so it's a little squishy. I'll give you great honor. V'im tim, second line there. V'im timanu umuritem v'lo tisha'alu shlomi. And, oh, by the way, if you don't come and say hello, then eshlach alechem melachim chayalim uprashim. I'm going to send my army against you. Eshlach alechem v'im tomru mihem melachim chayalim uprashim. Asher lemelech shlomo, who am I going to send? You say, where's the army? Chayot hashadeh him hamalachim, of hashamayim him haprashim, v'chayot him hashedim, v'aruchot v'halalim hachonkim etchem ala rishetchem u'batechem. The animals and the birds and the spirits and the demons will kill you and your children in your beds. So you're invited to come, and I'd like to look forward to see you. Right, so it's a nice invitation. If you come, great. If you don't come, right, see you later. Okay. Ukishimoa, to the right of where the sea is. Ukishimoa Malkat Shabbat Divea Yigeret Hazo, when she heard this. Shabbatishlach Yadash Enik Bideha Bati Kraim, she tore Kriya again. Matachal Bikrolis Kenim Sarim Atamalehem, and she called her ministers and she said, Aloyadatami Moshe Mata Mashalach Elayam Elashlomo, did you hear you know, what King Solomon sent to me. Okay, so I'm going to skip a little bit. And she appointed her, she got the ships ready, and she says, we're going to go see him, and we're going to go visit him. Okay, and they all went at the same time. Blah, 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 blah. Okay, now see, it's a 3-year journey to get from Sheva to Israel. Probably takes a long time to get anywhere. Laibi Kate Shalosh, see where the sea is, the arrow? And it was after 3 years. Vatavo Malkat Sheva Lamel Shlomo Yushalayma. So she came to Solomon. Ukishmo Mel Shlomo Kiba'i Lamalkat Sheva. Hotili Kratad Banayao Ben Yohyada. So who did she send? She said he sent out to meet her for his right hand man, Binayao Ben Yohyada. And he had Domer La Yelet Hashachar Hayotid La Itboker. Benayao was a good looking man. And he looked like the sun rising as it rose over the horizon. So obviously Benayahu was something to look at. He was like a shining star that shines among the stars. He's like the Shoshana, the rose that sits by the edge of the sea. Benayahu looked good. Okay. When she saw Benayahu, what did she think? Here's an unbelievable looking man. Who did she think it was?
Shlomo.
So she gets down off her. Right. How are they picturing, how are they describing this woman, this queen of Sheba? You know, here Shlomo is like the opulent. He's got maybe servants. And here she comes to Israel. She kind of gets it for the first time. She's the first guy she sees. She thinks he's the king. Right. So what's she? Well, she's like the country bumpkin, you know, and he's this, this sophisticated great man, and wowing her. Okay, so he says, why'd you get down? By time, art thou not the king of Shlomo? No, 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 I'm not the king. I'm just a regular guy. And she thinks to herself, wow, right. If this guy is just a regular guy, one of his servants, then they watch the king. Very good. You know, this is my favorite midrash. I don't know if I've ever shared this midrash. We're now coming to my favorite midrash that exists in the entirety of midrash. Yes, this is my favorite midrash ever. Okay. The kasher, see, skip down to the next paragraph. The kasher shama Shlomo kibal of malkat Sheva. When Shlomo heard that the queen of Sheba, I'm in the wide lines at the very bottom, when he heard the queen of Sheba was coming, and he's about to arrive at his kingdom, Shlomo had a glass house. For some reason, he had himself built a glass house. So he got up from his throne, from his kingdom, and he went and sat in his glass house. And the queen, when she saw him, she had never seen a glass house. So she figured, she saw this reflective surface. So where is the king sitting? He is sitting above the water. Somehow he can, I guess, levitate on water in some way. Right? So he's sitting on water, so she has to go meet him. So what does he do? So obviously, you know, when you pass in the water, what do? She lifted up her skirt. Okay, you know, she had her petticoats or whatever she had, and she lifts up her skirt. I have no idea what's going on in this midrash now, but you know, you'll understand why I liked it. V'nirela sharot biragleha. Okay, and what was Shlomo able to see?
Her
hairy legs. Anah hamelech Shlomo v'amarla. So the King Solomon said to her the following, Yafyech hu yofi hanashim. Your beauty, my dear, is the beauty of women. But v'sha'arech hein sa'arot anashim. But the hair on your legs is hairy like a man. V'se'ar yafel anashim v'delfi l'anashim. And hairy legs are nice for men, but not so nice for women. I promise I didn't make that up. I took it out. It's right here at the Targum Sheni on. I have no idea why in the world the Targum felt it was important to tell us that the King Shlomo, when he met the Queen of Sheba, told her to shave her legs. But he did. Now you understand it.
We don't know it yet. This is what it says.
It's a midrash. I mean, now you know why it's my favorite midrash ever. You'll never see a midrash like this ever again, to my knowledge. Okay.
That's probably good.
So and then she goes into what the riddles were. Skip to turn to page 3 because it gives other examples of what her riddles were. But you see the midrash sort of describes the Queen of Sheba. She lives in this, like, at the end of the earth. Shlomo on the one hand, and I think the Midrash is trying to sort of elaborate and develop the picture. Who's Shlomo? Shlomo could talk to the animals. He rules over the animals like he rules over, you know, like people. And they do his bidding just like that. They dance in front of him. He is entreated by kings from the north, the south, the east, and the west. The visit of the Queen of Sheba, she's like you said, she's like the last person who's never heard of King Shlomo. She travels 3 years to get to him. She's amazed at everything she sees. He's just like, you know, unbelievable sophisticated man, and she's this country bumpkin. You know what I'm saying? That's the impression that you get from the visit of the Queen of Sheba as it's described.
From the Midrash.
Right. You know, and the idea being to show you the great impression that Shlomo made on the rest of the world. Now, is that a good thing or a bad thing? Good thing, right? The Kiddush Hashem, is it not?
What? And the thing about Shlomo, the thing that bothers him about all of this is that he's one man, but and all this wealth and all this wisdom and all this fame and the good name of the nation is dependent on him. It doesn't say much about the rest of the kingdom.
Well, I mean, I don't know if that's necessarily in the Midrash, but Ayel Ben Yehoyada shows up, and she's not just impressed with him, as we're going to see. She's also impressed with the food and the servants and the country and the construction. She's impressed with what he's accomplished. Well, let's see in a second. I just want to share with you some of the riddles that he gave to her, okay? That she gave to him. I'm sorry. So look at page 3. If you have a page 3, there's a midrash from Yaakov Shimoni, if you have a page 3. She came and gave him riddles. So you'll find wisdom from Ayin, from somewhere, nowhere. Zo Malkat Shiva, this is the Queen of Sheba, Shama Chachmato. Dichtiva, as it is written, Umalkat Shiva Shamad et Shema Shlomo the Shema Shem, Vatavolin Asato Bechidot. Apparently she liked making up riddles. Right? So she came to test him with riddles. What kind of riddles did she test him with? Amar Rav Yirmiyahu bar Shalva, Mahu Bechidot. What were the riddles that she tested him with? Amra lo. And that who Shlomo says, Shamati Alecha v'Amalchutcha v'Achachmatcha. Is it true, great old Solomon, about this incredible country I've heard of you about and your wisdom? Amar Lahein. He said yes. Amar lo, imani shoelet bitcha ata mishiveni. If I ask you some questions, can you answer me? Amar lo, he said, ki Hashem yitein chachma. Wisdom comes from God. Meaning?
Not me, but God.
Give me your best shot.
Oh.
Okay. Amar lo. She said, mahu shiv'a yotzin. What is 7 go out? V'tisha nechnesin. 9 come in. Shnayim mozgin. V'echad shote. 2 pour and 1 drinks. Answer me that riddle. 7 go in, 7 go out, 9 come in, 2 pour, 1 drinks. Shlomo said, Amala, Bevadai, Shivat Yimei Nida Yotzin. 7 refers to the 7 unclean days of a Nida. Tisha Yarche Havlad Nechesin. 9 is the 9 months of a child born. Shnei Dadei Mozgin, the 2 breasts of the mother, they pour the milk for the child. V'echad shote, and 1 drinks. All right, she said, that was easy. That was an easy one. Ola Isha Olet. I'll ask you another riddle. Mahu Isha Omeret B'na. Okay? This is the following riddle. A mother says to her son, this is a good one. Listen carefully. Avicha Avi. A mother says to her son, your father is my father. Zikenecha Baali. But your grandfather is my husband. Ata Bini, you are my son. V'ani Achotcha. And I am your sister. Again, a woman says to her son, let me get it again, I'll say it in English. A woman says to her son, Your father is my father, but your grandfather is my husband. You are my son, and I am your sister. Anybody want to guess that riddle? It's a little tricky. This is one of those, you never heard of the I'm my own grandpa ones?
I'm my own grandpa.
From the Disney? You never heard that Disney song? Great song. So he said, those are the daughters of Lot. Remember, what did the daughters of Lot do? The daughters of Lot slept with their father and had sons. So she says to her sons, now that you have daughters, you can figure, she says to her son, you are my son, right? My father is your father, right? Because her father, she slept with her father, and their father was also, right, her father. You are my son, but my father is your grandfather. Why? Because her father...
It's her mother's father.
Right, it's her mother's father, right? And you are my... And then what was the last one she says? You are my son, and I am your sister.
Because they have the same father.
That's a good one. So he got it right away. That was easy too. Okay. So he got another riddle. So she brought in front of him a row, an array of young people that were male and female, but they had the same height, the same look, and they were dressed in the same way. Identical, all of them. Amarlo, she said, who's male and who's female? Right? Tell me. How do you solve that riddle? Ramazo Sarisham, Mehviu Egozim Uklayot. So he told his servants, he said, bring each one a little, like a treat. Nuts. Hitchim Chalek Nifnehem. So they started to give it out. Zacharim Shulah, you meet Baishim, how you know me, Bibigdehem. The men, right, who had no busha, no embarrassment, they just took. Nikevot, how you meet Baishot, no Lubasudrehem. But the women, they would never take with their hands. They were more modest, so they took with their handkerchiefs. So Shlomo said, the ones who took the handkerchiefs, right? Those are the male. Those are, I just wanted to give you a picture, an idea of the nature of the riddles that the Queen of Sheba would ask King Shlomo. You know, there are other riddles as well in the Midrashim, but she asked him all these kinds of nutty, tricky riddles. Okay, so and you know, they're just very, very interesting. Midrashim about this story. Now, there's one other thing that it's important for me to share with you, and that's a Rashi. Of course, we describe Shlomo's power, and it's a complementary thing. There's only one problem with the great prominence that Shlomo has accumulated. How has Shlomo garnered this great fame? Yes, it's his wisdom, but what else has garnered that great fame?
His friendships with other nations.
Why is he? No. Why and how did he develop these friendships with all these other nations?
By purchasing what he needed to build a
Megamigdash. But it was more than that. Why did everybody flock to him? Because of his great power. Because of his great wealth. What impressed them? His opulence. His incredible.
His wisdom and his opulence.
Right. What's the problem with people flocking to you because of how great you are?
You get to think how great you are.
And?
Then it corrupts.
Right. The power corrupts.
Power corrupts.
Right. And as great as all these descriptions are of Shlomo, until now with the Queen of Sheba, it's all great. It's wonderful. And it is great, the way she describes it. In essence, it's the most incredible Kiddush Hashem. Because when a country, when the Jewish people, I mean, this is like the ideal of Jewish history in a sense. The Jewish people have reached their apex, their pinnacle. They're the most powerful country in the known world. People are flocking to them to see them, right? And what is the Queen of Sheba says? She says, Ashrei Anashecha, Yi Hashem Elokecha Baruch, your God is great. And she says that he wants to make you so great. Ba'ahavat Hashem Yisrael Le'olam, God must love Israel. It's incredible. The problem is, how do you maintain the notion that the incredible things that we've accomplished come from God and not let it get to your head? Yeah, you understand? The greater Shlomo becomes, the greater the Jewish people become, the more countries and the more kings and the more nations that come to pay tribute to the Jewish people, the more dangerous the situation becomes. Why? I mean, we only have to look, those of you who are listening at home, wherever you happen to be around the world, We're now living in Detroit in the beginning part of 2008. Okay? What happens to people who think that they can never be torn down and that they're great and that they're...
get away with anything.
And that they can get away with anything and that it's all up to them and that everybody kowtows to them?
Somebody finds their text
messages. And, you know what I'm saying? How could somebody be so stupid?
Arrogance.
Where does that arrogance come from? The arrogance comes from people coming to you and saying, oh, you're
terrific.
You're terrific. You're the greatest. You know, you can save us.
That's what he was told all his life.
Right? And you begin to believe it. And it becomes very, very dangerous. Now, Lahavdil, I'm not comparing Shlomo HaMelech to...
don't even say his name.
Yes, to his honor. I'm not making that comparison, but the analogy is certainly there, because with all this power and influence and it has the potential to corrupt, as we will soon see, and the story of the Queen of Sheba is the highlight. Right? It's the only problem with being as high as you can go is there's only one way to go. So this story is told as an example, but it's told because it is the greatest story. And the Midrashim embellish it to a large degree. They you know, off the charts. But now there's only one way to go. Let's look at Rashi on Yud Gimel. Rashi says, look at the Pasuk again. Pasuk says, the Hamelech Shlomo and King Solomon Natan l'malkat Sheva et kol chevtza asher sha'ala. He gave her everything she asked for. What did she ask for? Rashi. Natan l'malkat Sheva netinazo eina ela limud chachma. What does she want?
Wisdom.
She wanted this wisdom. Can I have a tissue, please? That's great. That's a simple understanding. Thank you. And that's what she came for. To learn from him. Look in the parentheses. Kol chefza. What does she really want? Ba'eleha. Ba'eleha. What does ba'eleha mean? What? Ba'eleha means? He slept with her.
That's where the old movie
started. Venolad mimena nevuchadnezzar. And from her, a few generations later, was born Nebuchadnezzar. Yichriv habayit sha'amad arba me'od ve'esar shanim. Mechena kol shnei masar shvatim. And Nebuchadnezzar destroyed the Beit HaMikdash. Meha Arizal. Ari, if I'm going to see Ari, there's a Kabbalistic intention going on there. So the Kabbalah has a tradition that King Solomon impregnated the Queen of Sheba. She returned, gave birth to a child, and that child was the progenitor of Nebuchadnezzar, who destroyed the kingdom of Shlomo. What in the world do you do with a Rashi like that? It's a critically important Rashi. Why? Because Shlomo, somehow in his interaction with the Queen of Sheba, even if you don't take it literally, he is sowing the seeds for the destruction of his people.
I thought he did that when he married the daughter of Pharaoh.
Well, we'll get to that in a second. Yeah, we'll get to that in a second. Uh-huh. But even in this story, the rabbis and the clearly the Kabbalah saw something bad, saw the seeds of something terrible. That people would come and they would admire the opulence. Are the Jewish people supposed to be admired for our opulence, for our largesse, for our, you know, are we? Is that what we're really all about? The greatness of the Jewish people comes from our success in having a connection with God. And Shlomo had that. But he took it to the next level. He built the palaces and he garnered wealth. And that's what impressed people. And that's a problem. A terrible problem. And it was such a terrible problem that in the eyes of the Midrash, this was the beginning of the destruction that would happen years later. Hundreds of years later. But where did it start? Starts right here. That's an incredible Rashi, and an incredibly disturbing Rashi as well. And why do I say this? Because we have to read the rest of the chapter. And the rest of the chapter is quite clear that things are not looking good. Vayihi Pasuk Yudalet on page 110. Vayihi Mishkan HaZahav. 5 minutes. The weight of the gold that came to Shlomo in 1 year, 666 talents of gold. Okay? Aside from the merchants and the commerce of the spice feathers and from all the vassal kings and the governors of the land. King Shlomo made 200 shields of beaten gold. He would put 600 measures of gold into each shield. When the king is making gold shields, 600 of them, what's that tell you? He has no idea what to do with his money. Right? What else are you going to do with it?
But he couldn't buy computers.
What could he do with it, by the way?
Really, what could he do?
Oh, what could we do with it?
If you've
got money, what could you do?
Enrich your people.
Build the infrastructure.
Yeah. Roads.
Roads. Aqueducts. Well, the aqueducts, right? You know. All those things. By name, Amelach Beit Yair Lebanon. 300 bucklers of beaten gold. You put 3 amount of gold into each buckler. The king placed him in the house of Beit Yair Lebanon. What did he do with the things that he made?
Stored them away.
Nothing.
No.
Put them away. Is that what a Jewish king is supposed to do with the money of a kingdom? Right, that's what you do with it.
Does it really say that he's not doing...
You know, it strikes me...
Or is there just so much that he doesn't know what to do with it?
What does that mean, you don't know what to do with it? Is there such a thing?
Well,
let's look at the chair.
I don't know.
Vayas kisei shein gadol. He made a great throne of ivory. Vayitzapeu zahav mufaz. And he overlaid with sparkling gold. Sheish ma'alo lakisei, v'rosh agol lakisei mi'acharav, v'yadot u'mizel mizel makom ha'shavet, so he had 6 steps around it on the top, arms on either side, with 2 lions standing next to the arms. It's a picture for yourself. I didn't look in the picture book. I don't know if it's there. You have 6 steps, and on each step, going up to Solomon's throne, this gold throne. So don't picture the throne as a chair. The throne was... A bleachers. It was a contraption. And if you look, just on page 1, okay, this is also, the throne of Shlomo also appears in the Targum Sheni. Obviously you don't have enough time to do the whole thing, but it's worthwhile to note that in the Midrash, the animals in Shlomo's throne, anybody want to guess?
Were real?
Right, were real. They roared and they whinnied and they drayed and they did certain things that were, how shall we say,
so pleasant.
What?
Not so pleasant.
Well, scientifically impossible. In the Midrash it says, if someone would come and testify falsely, all the animals would begin to bray and roar. Right? So, you know, someone would say, maybe you want to tell me the truth. Right? So if a golden lion was roaring at you, you probably would tell the truth too. You know, so there are just the opulence of this throne. The impression also was that the throne wasn't just like a bleachers; it took up a whole room. Like, and you wanted to get on the king's throne, and it was just an incredible thing. Okay, and they had 12. And Lonasek came. No kingdom had the throne of Shlomo. Again, nice, yes, good, appropriate,
over the top.
B'chol klei mashkeh amel Shlomo zahar. Every vessel that he drank from was gold. Right? All Beit Yair Lebanon, everything in his hand, Beit Yair Lebanon in his Lebanese house was also gold. Ein kesef lo nechshav yinei Shlomo l'uma. They didn't bother with silver in the days of Shlomo. Why?
Too much of it.
Silver. Who needs silver? Gold. Why? Now, by the way, is everybody beginning to understand the comparisons now in the why this description appears in the Targum to Megillat Esther? Who does it start to sound like? Right. Shlomo should be interested in the things that Achashverosh should be interested in. So how do you get into these things? The answer is, the more stuff you have, the more stuff you want. The greater opulence you enjoy, you know, There are certain kinds of people, right? So if you drive a Honda Accord, that's all you want. I want a car, a Honda Accord, good car. I want it to take me where I need to go. Right? That is as high a quality of a car as anybody would ever need. Could we all agree? Honda Accord, a Toyota Camry, very comfortable, lovely car. Not everybody can afford it. Fine. Is there any benefit of having a Lexus over a Honda Accord?
Yes,
what?
It's status. It's just to show off that you have the money to buy it.
I mean, is it of a higher quality? Yes. But I guarantee you the guy who owns a Lexus isn't going to keep the car long enough to need it. Who buys a Lexus and then keeps it for 15 years? You understand what I'm saying? That's not what it's about. So, and the guy who buys the Lexus, what does he trade it in for? Yeah, why? Because it becomes a self-fulfilling need. The more you have, the more you want. The more opulent, the more people admire you for the things you have, the more you want them to admire you for the things you have. It's only natural. And Shlomo gets caught up in this. And the whole kingdom and the trappings of the kingdom become trappings of wealth and opulence and plenty, which are not Jewish hallmarks, as we will soon see. They're not at all. You know what? Let's stop here. We're on Pesach Chavbet, and we'll continue this, and we'll go into chapter 11, because these chapters go together quite clearly, and we'll continue with the Midrashim on this story, and we'll see how Shlomo sort of falls prey to the dangers that he does not concern himself with next week.